Well, again, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I know it's Friday night, and there's lots of places that you could be tonight, but I'm glad that you have chosen to be here, and I trust that this will be a night that you will not forget, that God will speak very clearly to your heart. We've been thinking about this topic of finding peace in a troubled world. As has been mentioned, last night was peace in the heart. Tonight, it's peace in the home. I want to think about that idea of peace in the home. But before we do, let me read the text that we have been using from the Bible, from the book of Acts, chapter 10 and verse 36, as the basis for these messages. And the speaker on this occasion is a Jewish fisherman who fished on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he met Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and it changed his life, and the Lord Jesus commissioned him to be a fisher of men, and now he is, in this occasion, visiting a Gentile home of a Roman centurion, and he is preaching to them about the Lord Jesus, and this is what he says: "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And that's what we're doing this week. We're preaching peace. And the way that a man or a woman finds peace is only by Jesus Christ. And he is Lord of all. And so that's our kind of key verse. But we want to think about this topic of peace in the home. And I was looking today on the internet just to find some interesting quotes about the home. And I came up with a couple. And this is probably the only time in my life that I'll ever quote from Confucius. And I'm not endorsing him. Remember that a stopped clock is right twice a day. So I'm not endorsing him. What he said here is right. He says, "The strength of a nation derives from the integrity of the home." The strength of a nation derives from the integrity of the home. Let me ask you something. Where does that leave our nation? Right? If the strength of a nation comes from solid homes, well, we're in trouble if that's the case. We're in serious trouble. Another quotation, and this is from a lady called Kathleen Norris. I don't know anything about her, but I know that she's correct in what she says. She says, "Peace, that was the other name for home." Peace, that was the other name for home. And you see, in some ways, that's the way the home is meant to be, isn't it? A safe place, a sanctuary, a place of protection and safety and peace and tranquility in a dangerous world. Sadly, in our society today, the home, for many, is no longer a safe place. I want to just think through the traumas of being a child in an average American home today. First of all, you actually have to survive the process of being carried in your mother's womb without being murdered. And that happens so frequently, doesn't it? That because of maybe it inconveniences the person's life or career choices, they decide that a child is not worth bringing into the world. And sometimes at very late trimesters, they do away with the child. So if it even makes it to birth, it's doing well. I am thankful that my mother did not abort me, because I wouldn't be preaching to you tonight, would I? Aren't you thankful? Everybody here, you should be thankful that you were not aborted. I wonder how many people would have been here tonight if abortion hadn't been so prevalent in our culture. Maybe the place would have been full. But we're murdering our future generations. And I know this is not pleasant, and it doesn't. We're just being real. We're trying to be honest about the state of the home. So if this child does survive the womb without being murdered, it is brought into a world that should be nurturing, that should be secure, but sadly is danger, a dangerous world. Sometimes it's dangerous because the fighting and divorcing of parents. Filled with bitterness against somebody they once loved, once wanted to be with this person, now they can't stand the sight of them, and there's a war in the home. And often these children, sadly, are used as weapons to get at the other person. Isn't that true? I tell you, God says, never mind what I think, God says, I hate divorce. I hate it. And I believe that one of the reasons, and I know there are many, but one of the reasons God hates divorce is what it does to children. Children don't deserve that. They want a mom and dad that loves them and loves each other. That's what they want. And yet, sadly, many are brought into a home where they're pawns in a very cruel game, a sick game. Of course, that's assuming the parents were married in the first place. Only 51% of those that have children bother to get married. So that means we don't have a lot of people. It's partners now. I don't know if you've noticed, that's the new term. This is my partner. And forgive me if I sound like a kind of grumpy old man. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I mean, and if it comes across like that, I'm not intending. I just want you to know this is the world that children are being born into in this country. I'm not talking about Syria or one of those. This is here. And then, you see, if they can survive that being torn apart because of the stress in the home between the parents, there's the danger then of stepfathers or stepmothers who have really very little natural affection for the children. And there's the danger of sexual abuse or physical abuse. It could come from a stepfather or a stepmother. It could come from uncles, grandparents. Who knows what else? I mean, if they can survive that. And let me tell you, it's much more common than you think. I've been dealing with it recently, and I can tell you it's prevalent. Child molestation is epidemic. So here's a child brought into a world, and this is their world. We could go on. It's evident that today, and let me just say this, if you were born into a stable, happy, secure family, you are one amazingly privileged individual. And you need to thank God every single day that you were brought up in a secure, stable family home. It's a blessing. And you are, sadly, no longer in the majority. You're a minority person if you're brought up in a stable family. Here are some statistics in our country, in the USA. Someone gets divorced every 10 to 13 seconds. Let me say that again. Someone gets divorced every 10 to 13 seconds. In fact, in the time it took me to read this point, somebody got divorced. Isn't that mind-blowing? I mean, only 51% bother to get married, and yet still every 10 to 13 seconds someone gets divorced in this country. I'm not talking anywhere else, I'm talking here. That's staggering. Those that marry when they're between the age of 20 to 24 have the highest rate of divorce. You've heard that it's 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Well, that's kind of accurate, but it's also a bit misleading because if you get married in that age bracket when you're 20 to 24 when you get married, your statistic is much higher than other ages. Those that get married older, 25 to 29, they have less liability of divorce. And then, you see, with divorce comes the second marriage issue. Let me just tell you this. The divorce rate on second marriages is 67%. The divorce rate for third marriages is 73%. So when it comes to marriage, it's evident practice does not make perfect. 3 out of every 4 adults who are on their third marriage end up divorced again. It's clearly evident that the home, a place that is meant to be a place of peace, is clearly in trouble. Serious trouble. You see, the home is the basic building block of society. So when the home is in trouble, the nation is in trouble. We wonder why our nation is in downfall, mainstream problems. We wonder that, right? Well, the family is being torn apart. And as a result, the nation is being torn apart. That's the root cause of it. And we're not even talking about all these other issues like gender confusion. Let me just say one thing about gender confusion. The Bible is very clear. It says this: God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. See, we're talking peace, right? Peace in the home. When there's this confusion about gender, let me tell you, God is not behind that. So if it's not God, who's behind it? It's Satan. He is the author of confusion. God isn't. And we live in a confusing world. So the question is there any hope? Is there any solution? Where do we go from here? It's obvious that we've got a crisis on our hands. Well, that's why tonight we're preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Because Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. He's the solution. He's the Prince of Peace. We learned that last night. However, the one who is Lord of all needs to be the Lord of our lives if we're going to have genuine peace in the home. See, something radical is needed. There's no question about that. We're in a mess, and there's a need for a radical solution. And we learned last night from the Bible, from the ancient Hebrew prophets, from the book of Proverbs, we learned it from the New Testament, consistently through the Scriptures, we learned this message, that if there's no righteousness, there's no peace. If there's no righteousness, there'll never be peace. You must have righteousness if you're going to have peace. No righteousness, no peace. And we said that righteousness means to be morally right. If we're not morally right, we'll never know peace. And so we've talked about things like divorce. What is the real reason behind divorce? Let me tell you, it's simple. It's two self-centered individuals who both want their own way. That's what it is. It's selfishness and sinfulness is at the heart of it. Remember, if there's righteousness, there's peace. If there's no peace in the home, what's the cause of it? It's a lack of righteousness, isn't it? People are not doing the right things. They're not acting the right way. Somebody's doing something they ought not to be doing. Child abuse and neglect, again, is the result of sinfulness of the human heart. It's because we're not righteous. We're morally wrong. We said last night, I say it again, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. That's where the problem is. It's a heart problem. Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, said this, Jeremiah 17:9. He says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You might say, biblically and scripturally, something's got to change. And you know what's got to change? We need a heart transplant. We really need a biblical heart transplant, don't we? We need something new, a new heart, a new start, a radical makeover. Something's got to change. Now, let me tell you something. That's why I love doing what I do, because I have a message that changes lives. It's called the good news. It's called the gospel. And it does change men. It's a message that transforms, that changes people. And so we need to ask that question. Can parents change? Can children that grew up in a dysfunctional family not repeat the mistakes of their parents? Is that, we have to believe there's got to be some hope. Is there really any hope for change? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here this week. I believe there's great hope for change. But that hope is centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. He can bring peace to your troubled home. I don't know what's going on in your home, but I know that if Jesus is Lord of all in your home, peace can be there. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be fit to stand here. I believe this message changes people. You see, we do need a new beginning and a new start. Some of us, maybe, marriage is struggling. It's almost like we need a new beginning, but not with somebody else. Right? It's not, because if you trade her in or him in for a new model and your heart doesn't change, well, we just learned you're destined to repeat the same problem again and again and again. See, what has to change is you. That's where the change has to come. It has to be a heart change, not a change of spouse, a change of heart. You've got to change. Now, just to encourage you, I'm sharing this to show that I'm not trafficking in untried theories. I'm a married man, a happily married man. But let me tell you a few things to show you the power of Jesus Christ. You see, I grew up in a dysfunctional home. My mother was an alcoholic. My grandmother was an alcoholic. Our family was devastated by the effects of drink. Wasn't an ideal home. In fact, in my teenage years, I was such an angry young man. I had a motor scooter at that time, and I would come home and find my mother had been drinking again, and I'd get on that bike and I'd drive so recklessly I didn't care whether I killed myself or not. That's my childhood. I don't have a single positive memory of home since I was 15. That's tragic, isn't it? So does that look likely that cycle, this is my grandmother, this is my mother, and now I'm next. Like, this is cyclical here. It's one generation. Can the cycle be broken? My wife's mother couldn't cope with her 7 children. My wife was the 2nd oldest, so she would disappear. She'd go missing for months on end. Just take off. Nobody knew where she was. When she came back, she was given to fits of rage, abuse, manipulation, and violence. Then my wife and I met. I'm English by birth. Not like people in North Carolina who say, I'm English because 20 generations ago you had some. No, I was born on the island of Great Britain in England. And my wife is Irish. She was born in Ireland. The English and the Irish have been fighting each other for 800 years. I'm an Anglo-Saxon, she's a Celt. Their temperaments are wildly different. So let me ask you the question, how did we ever survive 33 years of marriage? No, we didn't survive, we thrived. In fact, we have a wonderful marriage. In fact, we're closer now than we've ever been after 33 years. How could that be? Well, I can tell you, it's not because of the background at all. Is it not? I mean, everything in the recipe is wrong, except one ingredient, Jesus Christ. My wife lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and I live under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we have a peaceful home and a peaceful marriage. So that's why I can stand here tonight and say, I don't care how bad your problem is or your background is. It doesn't matter. I know Jesus can fix it. It's life-changing. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So how does it work? I'm going to give you another Bible verse. This Bible verse comes from a Jewish man, Saul of Tarsus. He was once a rabbi, once a Pharisee, strictest sect of Judaism. And one day he met Jesus the Messiah on the road to Damascus, and his life was forever changed. And he said this, that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. You see, isn't that what's needed? Obviously, doing it ourselves is failing. We said the problem is not a new partner. What's needed is a new me to be changed. And how can I get changed? Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ changes people. And if you're in Christ, if you come to the Savior, if you put your trust in Him, you can become a new creature. The old things will pass away, and all things will become new. We call it conversion, being born again, getting a new start, getting a new heart. That's what we call it. It's a transforming thing. But how does it take place? How does that miracle take place in a person's life? How do we get this new start, this new beginning? We said last night that it's possible for someone like us to be declared righteous, to be declared morally right, because we talked last night about that amazing transaction, that He, the Lord Jesus, that knew no sin, was made to be sin for us. Our sin was placed on Him, that the righteousness of God might be put to our account, that we might be transformed. But you see, it's one thing to be declared righteous, but there's more to this message than just having a declaration of being made righteous. There's a lot more to it than that, actually. That's just a small part of it. It's a big thing, but it's a small part of it, because not only are we declared righteous, but God begins to change a man from the inside out. See, what religion tries to do, always, religion tries to change a man on the outside. Wear the right uniform, wear the right garb. The gospel says, no, you can dress up like you, however you want, but if your heart's not changed, nothing's changed. And so what it does is it transforms a person from the inside out. So how do we get that? How do I get this new birth, this new beginning? Well, again, I want to read from this man, Paul. This is what he says. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For within the heart man believes unto righteousness. That's what we need, right? Righteousness. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. And then he goes on and says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Calling on the name of the Lord for salvation. The question is, will you do that? Will you call on the name of the Lord? Will you say, Lord, I need a new start. I've made a mess of things, and I've been a self-centered, wretched individual. I need you to change me. Lord, save me. And if you'll cry out to the Lord from a genuine heart, He will listen, and He will answer, and He will transform you. Remember we said that there's no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. You'll never know peace unless your sin is taken care of. Now I want to tell you some success stories tonight. I want to tell you a true story. I know the people concerned. I didn't read about it in a book. I know them all personally. I have a friend, and he was a coal miner in England. And he was a hard man. He was married, but his typical lifestyle was that he would come up from the pit, finish his shift, and go straight to the pub. And on the pub, he would get drunk. And then he'd go home and seem to take particular pleasure in beating up his wife. She was an amazing lady. She stayed there for why people do that, in a sense, and allow that to happen. It's hard for me to, but she did. And he did that day in, day out, week in, week out. And it wasn't exactly a recipe for a good marriage. One day he's on the bus. He's come up from the shift. He's on the top deck of a double-decker English bus. And he's just staring at the bus ticket. But on the back of the bus ticket, somebody had paid to have a Bible verse placed there. And the Bible verse read this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And as Jeff read that, "God so loved the world," he thought, could it be possible that God could love a wretched man like me? But he said, that's what it says. That whosoever believes on him, and he at some point in the past had been to Sunday school and heard about Jesus. But anyway, that night on the bus, just reading that verse, this man became a new creature. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. He believed that Jesus died for him to pay for his sin. And that night on that bus, he was born again. He was changed. And so he got off the bus at the pub bus stop and got back on another bus and went home. His wife was in shock. He was sober. This was unusual. And he didn't hit her. That was even more unusual. Slowly but surely, this man's life was absolutely transformed, and his wife couldn't believe what has happened to this man. And he told her what had happened, and she trusted Jesus. They had a daughter. This is where I come in. I knew the daughter well. I was in Bible school with her. She was training to be a missionary to go to the Amazon tribes people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But she told me the story that when her dad was so changed, at the time she was living with a Hell's Angel. She was living an immoral life. She was involved in all the crime associated with motorcycle gangs. And she couldn't believe the transformation of her father. And it was so compelling that she started asking questions, and she found Jesus Christ as her Savior and ended up being a tribal missionary to Brazil. A whole family that was, you'd hardly describe as any peace whatsoever. Like, this is your worst case scenario, isn't it? A physical abuse, violence, a daughter shacked up with a hell's... I mean, this is a nightmare scenario. And a bus ticket, and I wonder if the guy who paid to have that put on the bus ticket ever found out. But a whole family transformed by one Bible verse. You see, your family can be transformed by one Bible verse. "For God so loved the world." My life was transformed by that very verse. "For God so loved the world." That means God loved you. I know it's hard to fathom that God would love anyone like you or me, but it's so clear. God loves the world, and by implication, you're part of this world. It means he loves you. And he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. The one who was perfect, as we learned last night, who was righteous in every way, without sin, not a blemish, perfect. And yet it says he gave his only Son, that whoever believes on him. What do they believe about him? They believe that he was crucified on a cruel Roman cross. Not just because the Romans were mad at him or anything like that, but he was actually there as the ultimate sacrifice to pay the penalty of our sin. And he came to save sinners. And whoever believes, puts their trust in him, the Bible says they will never perish, but will have everlasting life. So can I suggest to you tonight, if you want a better marriage, you don't need a different wife or a different husband. You need to be a different person. You need to become a new creature. You need to be transformed by Jesus Christ, recognizing He is Lord of all. You see, we always say, if only this person would change. It's always easy to find faults in everybody else, isn't it? But God is saying, no. Never mind that. Let's start with you. Why don't we start changing you? And you can't change yourself. I tried that. I tried pulling myself up by my bootstraps once. It didn't work. I couldn't do it. I needed the Savior of sinners to change me. And so do you. And He will. He'll gladly do it. I read a title of a book once and it said this, Heaven Help the Home. By what we've read tonight, it seems like an appropriate title, doesn't it? Heaven Help the Home. But let me tell you, all of heaven is willing to help the home. But you see, we try everything else except the God of heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. And if we would start there, we'll find that peace can come to the home. Maybe some of you need to repent of your self-centered, wicked lives. Seek forgiveness. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Maybe some that even you call yourself Christians need to be reminded of the lordship of Christ rather than the lordship of self. Because you see, there's a lot of people who profess to be Christians who live very self-centered lives. Not everybody that professes to be a Christian is a Christian. If you'd have asked me before I was born again and became a new creature, if I was a Christian, I would have said, of course I am. I'm English, aren't I? I couldn't say that now because it's all changed. More likely to say I'm Muslim. But back then, I'm an Englishman. Of course I'm a Christian, but I wasn't a Christian because I had never received Christ as my personal Savior. And so my cry to you this evening, because it doesn't have to be like this. There is an answer to troubled homes. Peace can descend to the home, but it must begin when there's peace in my heart. And it can only be peace in my heart if I deal with the issue of righteousness. Remember, no righteousness, no peace. And so how do I get it? I get it from the Lord Jesus. I come to Him, honest, broken, in need, and say, Lord, I've made a mess of things. I really have. I don't want to carry on like this. I want a new start, a new beginning. Forgive me. I've been such a self-centered individual. Will you change me? I trust in your finished work. You died for me on the cross. I believe that. I believe you rose again. I'm calling on you to save me tonight. And the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you could put your name in there. I don't know what your name is, but you could put your name in there and you say, Lord, it's me, John Doe, whatever your name is, and I am calling on the name of the Lord Jesus to save me tonight. And you know, the Bible says whoever comes to Him, He's not going to cast them away. He'd welcome you. He doesn't want you to live like this in this hostile environment. He wants to change everything. He's good at making things new. And so I just plead with you tonight. I don't know your situation. I don't know anything about you. But I know that I'm sure in a group like this, there are some that are living in troubled homes. Oh, I'm sure that's true. Would have to be. Doesn't have to be that way, but it's probably true. It's time to fix it. But the way to fix it is for God to fix you. And there's only one way to do that. There's only one remedy. preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. No other Savior but Jesus. He's the only Savior. You can't save yourself. No other Savior but Him. And He is able to abundantly save. I am so thankful that I was not aborted as a baby. I am so thankful that even though my home life was hardly ideal, my father never dreamed of divorcing my drunken mother. He loved her. He wept like a baby when she died. He taught me a lot about commitment to vows. The Bible says it's a very serious thing to make vows in the presence of God and not keep them. My father kept those vows. I'm thankful for that. I am thankful that I was saved before I got married. I really am. I'm thankful for my wife. I don't know how an Englishman and Irish woman could ever have survived 33 years without the Lord Jesus. But we did. And we thrived. Because He is Lord of all. And He is wonderful. And so I want to just recommend Him to you tonight. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I can tell you without hesitation, my wife's wonderful, and I thank the Lord for her. But the best thing that ever happened to Mike Atwood was not Anne-Marie, as beautiful as she is. The best thing that ever happened to me is Jesus Christ. He is a wonderful Savior. And He can be your Savior tonight if you will come and say, Lord, I'm the sinner You died to save. Save me. Let's pray. Father, we again just bow in Your presence. We know that in this very room there are people, and the very things we've been talking about is their living experience. Tension, struggles, strife within the home. Father, we would pray that whoever this person is, these people are, that they would not leave this place until they have found peace. We've been singing or heard sung to us tonight, when peace like a river attendeth my way. What a beautiful thing it is to have that peace, that tranquility, to be able to say it's well. It is well with my soul. It's well with my home. It's well with my marriage. Father, there's nothing more secure and beautiful than these things. And so we pray. We know that the Lord Jesus, He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who can bring peace to these troubled hearts and troubled homes. We pray that some would submit their lives to Him tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I call upon You. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to talk to me about any of these things, I'll be standing at the back. I'd be very happy to talk to you, or some of the people that invited you, they would be good to talk to you too. They know you better than I do. So feel free to talk to somebody.